Welcome to the Orlando Lions Den Podcast, your number one Orlando City podcast for the fans, by the fans. Keeping you in the know on all things Orlando City since 2018.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another edition of Orlando Lions Den Podcast. It's your boy, Alex Brown. I'm back at it this week. The heat has just been, it's been unreasonable. I don't know if it's the same where you guys are. I haven't been up to Orlando in a while. I know it's been miserable there, but we've had record heat day after day after day. It's been kicking my butt, boys, but we're here tonight. We're back at it. I got Eddie and I got Mike with me. We're going to be having a good show. We're going to try and cover a few different things. Of course, we got smacked by RSL, but we'll talk a little bit more about that. Eddie, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing all right. It is muggy in Orlando. You know, thankfully, me and Mike, got that work from home gig going, so we're not suffering through that. But Alex, you got to be out there. Even it's burning hot. Then the water is, let me jump in that water to cool down. And the water is burning hot, right? Basically.
It's so unbelievable. I never felt that. I mean, usually the water temperatures are like 88, 89. I think the record was like 90. And when you beat record temperatures, like by a degree. And on the water temperatures, it's like by like tenths of degrees. And we've been beating it by like 4 degrees, entire whole degrees. So, but it wasn't only muggy in Florida. It was muggy in Salt Lake, as in Orlando City getting mugged. So, but we'll talk a little bit more. Mike, how you doing about that? Or how you doing, my man?
I'm doing all right, man. Heat index up here has been like steady between like 101 to 105 pretty much every day. And I'm done with it. Like, I'm good. Like, yeah. Obviously walking my dogs and going to the gym every day, working on myself, but that heat, man, it's brutal. And I'm just out of curiosity, like, cause you doing all your flight school stuff, man, what's the temperature like in them planes? Does it get crazy up there too?
Yeah, it's hot. I did my night flight last night and I was still sweating at night.
I just would have been sweating because I would have been flying a dang plane.
Yeah, no, that too. But no, it gets, I mean, there's no air conditioning, of course, in the planes. And, if we can get some altitude, it drops pretty decently as you get up higher in the air. But no, it's definitely brutal up there. My instructor's been telling me he's been having to cut lessons short because they just can't do it. They're in the planes all day. They just can't do it. So I can't blame him. I try and fly in the morning though. Like tomorrow I fly at 9 a.m. So I try and get it done out of the way when the heat's not too bad. But I've been waking up, like I'll be on the way tomorrow and it'll say 100 degrees at 8:30 in the morning. The heat index has been like 105, 106 at 9 a.m. So yeah, it's brutal. We have no wind down here. Sahara dust is just keeping everything locked in. So I don't know. Something's got to change. We got Mike's making some changes, might be moving, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's still going to be like a year out, but we're looking at possibly getting to Colorado, man, see some seasons. So
yeah, I've learned that with the cold, you can always add layers on, but there's only so many layers you could take off. So, especially big boys like us. So,
hey, people do it, man. I was just at Home Depot last night. Some dude just saw my tattoos, started wanting to talk tattoos with me, took his jacket off, and he wasn't even wearing a shirt. He's just like, I'm trying to show you everything. I'm like, man, stripping down in the Home Depot. I'm like,
welcome to Florida. Florida,
I don't know
man.
How I track these, but all right, man. Florida, man.
He's over there. He's just showing his tramp stamp. This is the General Lee right here.
I seen a dude with a tramp stamp the other day with his last name. You usually see the last name on the top, but he was on the bottom. It was really weird. Definitely Florida man-esque. So, all right.
Real quick, what was the last name? Like, what was the last
Vasquez. I won't forget it.
Is that something that sticks with you?
Wow.
I have a story about one of those. I'll tell you guys off the air.
Those fish in Key West, you catch when you put it in your cooler. They're just like, you know what? Catch and release my butt. Just put me in the cooler, man.
Yeah, just kill me now. That's what they're
basically saying. They're like in a sous vide, put them back in the water and just slowly cooking,
Yeah, they're worried about the ecosystem and the reef and everything. So they're saying that it might get, you know, all the way bleached this year. So
now you know the our acronym, Orlando Lions Den, you know, it reads as old, and nothing says old to talking about the weather for 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's how we roll. I've been learning all about the weather too. So, but we'll get into our sponsors quickly. We have of course Eddie. You know, if you never need, we're just talking about insurance and home insurance, and you know, all these companies have been leaving the home insurance business in Florida. What do you say, Eddie? We're up to 18 now. 18 companies that have left.
Yeah, it's 16. Farmers Insurance just said no mas. And 18 months. So I think it's going to get to 20 probably before the 2-year mark. So I know of at least one more that's going to call it quits too.
Yeah. And usually it means when one company's leaving, other companies are coming in. But I think people are starting to realize a lot of places in Florida are basically uninsurable, especially with what's been going on with the global warming and the heat. And all that stuff, it just accelerates everything. So if you need to shop around, people are going to be raising it. They're not leaving town. I promise you, they are raising rates 100% of the time. So make sure you guys are getting those competitive rates. And when what happens is with insurance, when a lot of companies leave, you get these companies that have been smart and they haven't been taking risk, but now they're ready to take some risk in Florida. And then they come in with a lot of times really good prices, so or better than what you're getting. So. Make sure you guys give Eddie a call. Not only house insurance, auto insurance, life insurance. I got it all through Eddie. So I think I shared this story last time I was on, but I'm at the DMV and I don't have to. I called the line and it said 10-minute wait, and I needed it done immediately. And Eddie just got it done for me in like 15 seconds. So it's just nice to have that sort of. You know, simplicity right there at your fingertips. So don't be afraid to give Eddie a call, get your stuff shop around. Of course, we got the Field Turf USA team with their pitches and always hooking us up and taking good care of us. They've been with us since the beginning. So appreciate you, Chris, over at Field Turf. And then Leo is with his new company. That's Leo Gonzalez and the Epic Mortgage team are officially the new sponsors of Orlando Lions Den podcast. The Epic Mortgage team that Leo is part of is powered by U Mortgage. So if you are looking to refinance, if you are looking at purchasing homes, if you are just looking at questions about how the loan processing system works, just give Leo a call. His phone number is 407-844-7696. And he'll be more than happy to take care of you. So that's it for the sponsors. We'll jump right into the absolute drubbing that we got at the hands of RSL. We've been great on the road all year. Kind of just felt like this was coming. I wasn't on the Den After Dark. It was a late night for me. I've been this heat. And I, for those that don't know, I work in the heat literally all day. So this heat's been crushing me. And I've been in bed at like 9:30 every day. So when we were down 2-0 at halftime, I was feeling like Vegas, and I was setting the odds, and the odds weren't looking good. I was thinking, you know, if I go to sleep now, worst comes to worst, I wake up and we got a result, and I missed a nice comeback. At least, you know, I didn't jinx us. But you know, at the best, I probably made the right decision, and we'll end up losing 4-0. And the latter part was true, and that's exactly what went through my head, honestly, when it was 2-0 at halftime. Although we played a really good first half, it just felt like. We just weren't going to have the gas in us. Felt like the altitude was going to get to us. Felt like the travel, 3 games in 8 days, was going to get to us. And it did. And I'm going to be honest, y'all. I was expecting this. This happens every year. It's not only to us either. This happens to every team every year. This is the part of playing in Major League Soccer. This is part of, you know, like I mentioned, I was in London. You got 5 teams that play within 7 miles of each other. This is part of not having that luxury. This is part of having to travel 5,000 miles round trip on 2.5 days rest to a place that has, you know, 5,000 more feet in elevation than what you're used to. This is all just part of it, in my opinion. You know, we do this. It happens to every team every year. Just go on the road on a short week, and you get your butts kicked. That's what happened. It's nothing against us. I would have liked to see more rotation. I know if it's not broken, don't fix it. But at some point, you got to understand, it ain't in our favor. We're probably not going to get a result. And if we are, it's not going to be with the same guys that have been working their tails off, getting two straight dubs. So that's my only qualm with it. I would have liked to see more rotation for the guys, more rest for the guys. But I can't. I'd be lying if I said I didn't expect a fat L. You know, we got what I expected. I saw a lot of people that were upset at the 4-0, but a goal differential is not even the main tiebreaker. I don't know how many times we got to say this on the pod, at least me on the podcast, but I hate how people talk about goal differential. I hate it. It's not even the main tiebreaker.
Everybody's here, man. That's the thing.
Everybody's so classically conditioned to care about goal differential. It don't matter. It don't matter. Goal differential is not even the tiebreaker. The tiebreaker is total wins. Why the hell y'all care about goal differential so much? I mean, I understand it, but how many times have we played and how many years have we played in MLS? This is our ninth year?
Yeah, eighth, ninth.
Yeah, and what? How many times has goal differential came down to decide our season or even seeding?
Maybe once, if it got close, right? I feel like last year, the year before.
No, we've always, I think points, one, or the wins got us one time with the wins. But
look, but you know, with Oscar Pareja, the goal differential is never going to be a thing.
I just care about goal differential. I just don't care. If it was the main tiebreaker, I would care. But I care about wins. And if you don't get the dub, then we just move on. Just move on. I don't care about goal differential. It's nice to win 4-0. It's not nice to lose 4-0. Either way, it's about winning the game to me. And that's what the tiebreaker is, wins, total wins. In case you didn't know, tiebreaker is total wins. That's it. So, Mike, tell me what you thought. Are you sharing the same sentiment as me? Were you expecting anything more out of this match?
I mean, I was hopeful for a draw. I wasn't being too optimistic for a win going off the fact that we had, what was it? As you said, we had three games in 8 days. My big thing is, and I feel like Eddie's going to end up echoing this when he talks about it, I expected more rotation against Toronto, and I feel like that's kind of really what bit us in the backside against RSL. What you have to pay attention to who your opponents are. Toronto is a weaker team. They are been struggling hard all this year. And yeah, they got nice new jerseys, but like that didn't pick up their play on the field. So like we probably should have done a little bit more rotation against Toronto. And we probably would have been able to have a little bit more rested guys going into RSL. Now, if you look at the numbers, like the expected goals, they definitely beat our backsides on that. That's for sure. But like some of the other stats look like it was actually like almost kind of an even game at times. It looked like realistically watching the game back, there was two mental mistakes when it came to corners or to set pieces. That's Cesar got beat on two set pieces, and that's how they scored their first two goals. Then we started going more forward and attack and trying to get something back. And the two goals we gave up in the second half were just goals that looked like a team that was dead beat. Like we were just beat, tired, done, didn't have anything left in the tank. And, you know, these games are going to happen. And it's one of those things where we're recording on Wednesday night here. I'm happy that it happened last week and we have a week off this week with no midweek game. So that way we're prepared for the weekend against Atlanta, because I would, if you told me that I had to pick a game to have a win and the other game was going to be a fat L between RSL and Atlanta, I'd pick Atlanta to be the game that we win 10 times out of 10.
I agree.
If it's going to happen, I'm happy that it happened here. Hopefully they get it out of their system, because they're looking pretty good and doing well before that.
Yeah. And I see what you're saying about rotating against Toronto, but to me, against weaker opponents, you bury them. You know, you got to give your best chance to win. You know, I would say, you know, if there's a 95% chance we win with that starting 11 and a 60% chance we win with rotation, I'm taking the 90% chance. And then if it's 0% chance we win in RSL, whatever, that's fine. That's fine. I don't look at the schedule in the preseason and go RSL on the road, third game in 8 days. We should be able to get a result from that one. No, I look at that game literally from day one when the schedule was released and go fat L. I'm sure Oscar looks at it that way. You know, it's just not a high percentage chance of us getting a dub, just even on paper, or any result from that match. It was kind of like that Seattle game, and we got a result there. I feel like we've played really, really well on the road, so I'm not worried at all about this result. You know, I was shocked when I woke up and saw, when I was in London, I saw that Seattle result. That was a phenomenal result, in all comparison, because, you know, it's just, when you look at those games and you got to play on the West Coast, you know, it's you always are considering those to be the toughest games of the season when you got to travel like that. So Eddie, yeah. did you expect anything more?
I thought we could maybe get a draw, just given our road form this year and the way, you know, how well we've been playing in that stretch. But am I upset that we lost the third game in 8 days at altitude, traveling, when that was our second loss out of 12, you know, two losses out of 12. I mean, you have to kind of have an agenda to be super upset about that, right? Like, you wanted to be right about something else. Objectively, it's a good run. It's going to happen. And like Alex says, there's just random games where you go out west or something and you just get smacked. You know, it just happens. Dallas years ago, you know, it's happened to Seattle. I don't know. It just feels like randomly just get slapped around. So there's always that. It's MLS. There's that one time where you just get beat. You get 4-0, 3-1, 5-1 for no apparent reason, and half the game is like, yeah, what the heck happened? And that's kind of what happened here. Like Mike said, two of those last goals were just kind of spent, and then we had some decent chances. Fagundo had fallen down for the top of the box, you know, caused some issue. Kyle had a tough angle, but a shot that like Alex had discussed earlier, the shot that he could probably make. The keeper made a good save, and then Duncan came out spicy and hit the post pretty early, or almost hit the post pretty early. So I thought there was some cohesion in the way we played. I thought there was some threat there. I don't think we looked bad, but ultimately, you know, I think, Paolo Mascherani, the coach at RSL, used to play for Oscar. And at the end, I think he got the better of Oscar. I'm not going to read into that too much, but he did the way they were playing. They were sending long balls to Krylak, and he was just knocking them down, doing a good job winning most of the aerial battles, and then knocking him down to Chicharito. And that's your new signing. He's proven an MLS. He's a good player. He hurt us before. And those kind of strikers hurt us. Our center backs are big lugs. They're not the fastest guys. And when you have a small nine like that, when Joseph was at peak, Cucho Hernandez, now Chicharito, you have guys like that they pop up in different places. They go wide. They drop deep. That really unsettles our defense, and that just made it a bad matchup. So I didn't have a lot of expectations coming into it. I thought a draw, but I didn't think 4-0. But it didn't feel like a whooping. It didn't feel like we got dominated 4-0. To me, not every result. You know, I always talk about performances, not just the score. I don't think it was a bad performance overall. A little, you know, some issues here and there, but the Caesar got dunked on twice on two set pieces. One, ironically, was Duncan tracking all the way back. You know, Poppy loves a striker who put in a tackle. And, bro, he didn't need to go all the way back, but he got upset, tackled dude, and then they got a goal. And then they did a good job. They would make their runners come in late and run onto the cross instead of kind of be more stationary and win the ball in the air. It worked twice. Chicho Arango got on top of Cesar, and then they changed to who's guarding Chicho, and then here comes Justin Glad, who's humongous. And just, that was actually a really good header, because that was difficult. He was falling backwards. He rarely got a jump on it. And that at that point, we're not really built to come back from 2-0 most of the time. At that point, it was kind of a loss. The rotation, I'm with Mike. They should have rotated a little bit earlier. I don't know if we should have not played our 11 in Toronto or versus Toronto, Chicago. But I thought, like, playing Fagundo for 90 minutes in Chicago so he could get his header, it wasn't necessary. I thought we could have pulled people earlier. You could still get rest by pulling people 60 minutes, halftime. That's what I thought we should have done. And that would have given us, you know, fresher legs. But then again, even three games, even rotated, RSL is a good squad. I don't know if you could expect to win even if we were rotated. If you had started a Dagger Dan or a Ojeda from the beginning, or a Cara, who's back up now, or some of those other guys, Felipe, like, you know, you look at the rotational pieces, were they really going to win? Was it just that? No, they would have lost too, even if we did rotate. So,
One thing that I want to add to that too, just because of the thing, something that you said earlier in your feedback was that, you know, in MLS that sometimes this just happens, like, you know, you're going to lose games, and those games, sometimes you're going to lose one that's going to be pretty bad. Like, look at Cincinnati. Cincinnati is running away with the supporter shield right now. And I'm pretty sure they got pummeled like 5-1 by St. Louis, like early in the season. Like one of their few losses was getting completely thrashed. LAFC has looked as one of the teams that's towards the top. They've looked like cardboard doo doo lately. Like,
yeah, it happens. Yeah,
you just come through. It's all about getting. I mean, this league's all about getting hot at the right time and avoiding
absolutely
getting too cold at any time. And a lot of people have talked about, you know, we're not very good against playoff teams. Which my response to that is, it's a damn good thing we don't have to beat playoff teams until the playoffs. So that's, you know, that's well,
we got to beat a couple to get in the playoffs. Like,
we're on our way to get in the playoffs, you know, and some of the teams that are making their way up, we beat them too, you know, and we've gotten draws.
Like DC,
and
Red Bulls.
We're a tough team to beat. That's just what it is. We're meant for tournament style play, in my opinion. I've always said that. We're not meant to play 3 games in 8 days and travel and because, you know, we're meant
and
to
come
play,
back from a deficit.
Yeah, we're meant to play 1 game a week or you know, and start your best 11 and then bring in guys that are really, really good depth pieces and then dare you to beat us. That's what it is. You know what I mean? But, you know, as far as blood in the water is concerned, you know, and other teams knowing that we're on our third game in 8 days and knowing that we have to travel, you know, you know, this situation of playing RSL on the road on 4 days rest is never going to happen in the playoffs. It's literally impossible.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't read too much into it. You know, you're never going to play anybody on shorthand rest like that. And you're never going to have to play anybody from the Western Conference unless it's in the MLS Cup. You know, so
yeah. Also, too, before this game, we had scored first in 9 of the out of the last 11 matches. That kind of game state really, really fits into Oscar's style. You know, where you're tough to beat, and then we're really best scoring on the counter. We as we've improved this year, we've improved more on the ball, but we've been pretty good on the counter all season. But when we're up 1-0, 2-0, then we could get really compact, tough to, you know, real solid, in a good shape, and then kill you on the counter. And that's what we've done recently. But being down 2 like that off of 2 set pieces on the road, the altitude, it was at that point, it was night nights at that point.
Do you guys think that this killed any of like our momentum, you know, our unbeaten streak that we've had? You know, we just won 4-0 and 3-1. You know, do you think that it really puts a hamper on that? Or do you think it's just more of a blip? You know, it's just not something that even the guys will focus very much on. It's easy to write off.
I mean, I feel like it's definitely something that's going to have a little bit of a factor on momentum, because we were cooking, man. 3-1, 4-0, 1 loss in 11 games. So now obviously that's 2 losses in 12 games or whatever it is. We were doing really well. So that's going to put, you know, a little bit of a hitch in the giddy up for sure. But at the same time, you know, it's to quote Ted Lasso, they got to be a goldfish. You got to forget it. Got to get ready to move on. And they know that the game that we got this weekend is a big one. This is a team that's jockeying in the same area as we are for playoff position. Don't matter what happened yesterday. Just got to be worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. So they got to be prepared for it.
And a team, I might say, that's playing tonight on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And then has to play again on Saturday. So I mentioned blood in the water. I'm hoping our guys are smelling that.
Mind you also, they were away to Montreal on Saturday and are away to New England tonight. So, yeah, we're playing them in their home stadium, but they're just coming off of 2 decent-sized road trips in between that. So
And they're probably their best defensive midfielder is gone now, because they've mucked the U-22 signing so bad that they tossed them away to Toronto.
I mean, their best center back is also on international duty, and their striker has been out injured. So,
yeah. You know what? I think the U.S. should just call up Brad Guzan while they're at it, because That man ain't what he used to be, but against us, he gets rebirth. You know, it's ridiculous. Yeah. And Alex, answer your question. I think, you know, you it's there in the back of your mind, but at the same time, like, what are you going to get from this tape? You know, just burn it. It happened. It sucked. Let's just move on. You know, set pieces, marker guy. All right, Atlanta time. You know what I mean? I wouldn't dwell on it if I was the coaching staff. I wouldn't make it feel bad. It's not indicative of how we've been playing. It wasn't a bad performance overall, you know, while the game wasn't, you know, was reasonable. So I don't think you dwell on it. I think it's one of those, like, you don't even watch the tape. You just kind of move on.
I'm the same. I think even a blip is overestimating what it is. I think those guys had forgot about that result before they literally walked off the pitch in RSL. So, and that's no discredit to RSL. You know, they won a game that they're supposed to win, to be honest. You know, it's a debut for their star striker. They've been hot lately. I think they're a dark horse team, if you want my honest opinion, especially with the Ticho signing. I think I would not be surprised to see them in a Western Conference final.
The way LFC has dropped off, you know, for sure. I mean, I think that's a good shout. Absolutely. Who else in the West is like really, you know, the right now they we're talking about, we don't be
St. Louis teams. And you can't ever really say, you know, St. Expansion team's going
to,
you know,
everybody keeps waiting for the fall down, right? Like the fall off of St. Louis, you know, like at some point you feel like they're going to fall off the cliff a little bit, but we're talking about not beating playoff teams and whatnot. And yes, it's a thing we have to prove. Sure. But RSL was a point ahead of us. They're just third or fourth in the East, or they were on the West because it's the West. But in the East, they'd be, you know, in the same area as us. So it's not like they were, you know, we're playing some top dog in the they're playing well now. But I'm just saying that it wasn't, you know, they're getting hot now. It's not like they've been dominant all season.
For sure. Go ahead, Mike.
No, I agree with you on the fact that I think that they're a dark horse, 100%, especially the signings that they're making. They 100% fit that mold. And also, I'm going to use one of Andrew Wiebe's favorite terms that got on the nerves of everyone from Austin last year is, you know, I mean, these are bonus games. These are teams that are not in your conference. These are games that are there for you to try and collect additional points. And right now against the Western Conference, our bonus games, we're 3-1-1 through six games that we're going to have total. So as far as our bonus games are concerned, we're handling them really well. Whatever happens against St. Louis at home, we're still going to end with a winning conference against the West, or winning record against the Western Conference. So, you know, yeah, this it hurts to lose this game, but short-term memory, again, we're already beating the other teams, and LAFC is on, or not LAFC, RSL, sorry guys. RSL is coming off a high right now. So this was a game that was always going to be a tough one for us.
And not to mention, you know, you got your rival coming up after this. This is a trap game. This is a lazy game. This is a throwaway game. This is a this whole RSL. I don't care that we lost the game. But if there's ever a match that I don't care that we lost, it's this one. I just don't care. You know, it's fully expected for me. And expecting it doesn't make it any better, but the circumstances, in my opinion, do. So
if I could add one thing real quick, yeah. I do like that we went in at home. Like, you have bum teams coming to your house, like Chicago and especially Toronto. You know, and given our home record, how bad we were at home, now we're on the positive at home. You know, that's where you got to win points at home. We've been saying that all year, that we, you know, all points matter, all that. But we've been getting a lot of points on the road. And you need to win points at home and then try to get results on the road, right? So this week was more or less normal. We won both our games at home, and then you try to get some results on the road, and it doesn't always work out. You know, that's perfectly within normalcy in MLS, you know? So it's not a big deal, in my opinion. We lost. We took care of business, and we tried to, you know, snatch a point on the road, and just didn't work out.
Yeah, I think it would have been different if we would have converted any one of those early chances, for sure, so... But that's just the way it works, the way the cookie crumbled. So we'll do some stock ups and stock downs. I mean, we lost 4-0. I can't really say I have much of a stock up. I mean, I don't know if anybody really surprised me in what I saw. I mean, I Duncan McGuire, the guy is just, he's everywhere. I mean, even when he lost it, they would get crushed. You know, it's just, it's fun to watch him play the striker position. It's fun to watch how hard he works. It's fun to watch where he's positioned every single time. It just, it feels like he's a really darn good soccer player, just my opinion. And I think that's a lot of people's opinion right now, and not only in Orlando, but around the league. But I got to say, man, my stock down's got to be Mauricio again. I love Mauro. I've loved him for a while, but I feel like, you know, the cliff is there. We've reached it. And you know, it's definitely time, to talk about getting a new 10, you know, and I think we signed him to a year extension this year, but, you know, I it feels like it's a hole that needs to be filled. I think we need to match us with, especially with a lot of these younger guys. You know, it's a hole that will need to be filled. So nothing in particular. It's just I feel like the game might have been able to be different. And from the captain, I want to see more from the captain. Just my opinion.
By the way, I think we the first time ever we signed him into a 2-year deal. Maybe not the first time. Maybe since his initial, but in order to probably to take the pay cut, we give him a longer contract.
True that.
So yeah, so he's on a 2-year. Well, when he's getting older and less effective. So, yikes. The thing about the 10 spot for us is we don't see an heir apparent ever. You know, it's just him. There's nobody else. They're trying Faku out of it, but not all the time. Is Faku going to be the 10? I don't know. Faku's a different kind of 10 too. So it's just weird. We never get that sorted out. But for my stock up, I just, you know, I still think the double pivot Wilder and Cesar got dunked on, but I just like them as a pair. So I'm keeping at that stock up as a double pivot and stock down. You know what? This is going to be controversial, but stock down and give it to Pedro. He's having this. He last year after the World Cup, he was phenomenal, and at the beginning of this year. But before that, he was kind of not that great. And, I don't think Toronto had a shot on goal. He had a clean sheet in that, so you can't really bug him for that. Not saying he could have done anything on the RSL goals. I just wish he came out a little bit more for crosses and corners. And the pairing the ball away, he punches, like, catch the ball, man. He punches the ball, and countless times it goes right back to the defenders or to the other team, and that's just something I'm a little tired on. So maybe Pedro just so it's a little harsh, but
I don't think it's harsh. They had 1.93 expected goals and they scored 4.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you look at the fourth goal, like, you can't get beaten near post that easy. Like, the guy was just, it was just wide open. The third one, that was okay, weird angle, but he smashed it and et cetera. And I'm not saying the headers he could have stopped, but the that last goal, his positioning seemed off. When the Peruvians who've seen him longer and seen him in the national team, this critique has always been a little bit positioning and coming out and commanding the box. That's always been their critique with him. And I think we're seeing that a little bit lately. And he's always been a great one-on-one shot, you know, one-on-one shot stopper and athletic, but a little bit of those, you know, highlight save merchant, you know, just do the basics a little bit. So, and I think he got away with one in this one where he punched it right back at Krylak and he just wasn't ready for it. So a little harsh, but stock down to at Pulpo.
Yeah. Don't think that's harsh. And I'm wondering if, obviously, there's been some rumors of him maybe possibly getting a chance in Europe for one or two last of a season, or, you know, in the next couple seasons. I think even he commented and said that that's something that'll be looked at after the season's over. So
I'd maybe, do it then.
Maybe his head's somewhere not where the 100% focus is, but that's only, of course, all you can do is speculate. So
yeah.
Mike, you got us a stock up and stock down.
Yeah. So, stock up, just want to kind of add on to yours, Alex, as far as stock up, there was an article that was put out on Duncan McGuire from, I think, Brian Scarietta, kind of just interview with him, breaking things down, real cool, you know, good to see him, where his head's at, what he's trying to do, what he wants to accomplish. It looks like for him, big things that he wants to do are, like big goals to make the Olympic team. And he's a player that I think has a chance to do something like that. And he did say that his ambitions are in Europe. So just something Orlando City fans to keep in mind and look at eventually. So you never know. Other than that, I really didn't have much of a stock up, stock down, to kind of contrast Eddie a little bit. I know you said you still like to double pivot, but my stock down has to be Cesar. Obviously, you know, got to be better on those set pieces. It's one of those things that's real weird, you know, like, I was talking with, on Twitter and in the Den After Dark, there's two games where we've been absolutely awful on set pieces. And that was against DC and against RSL. Rest of the season, we've been fine. It's just like, if we're bad, we're really bad. And if we're, if other than that, we're fine. So, obviously set pieces have to be better. And, unfortunately this time around, Cesar specifically was the culprit. So,
and Cesar was the culprit on one of them. DC, they have that giant center back or CDM.
Donovan, right? Pines, yeah. He's like,
yeah, Donovan Pine Tree. Yeah. And Cesar just tried to like dive right into his shoulder and bounced off like a little kid. And, yeah, Pines just dunked it in. So, yeah, I'm saying stock up over on the concept. And also Duncan, too. I didn't want to jump on it. But Duncan, I mean, if any question, he's a starter, man. And, you know, and but yeah, Cesar, I mean, at this point, probably 3 or 4 goal set pieces, or at least 3 we get off the top of our head that he's been responsible for. So, yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I'm watching this USA game, and I thought they just gave up a goal to Panama in the 94th minute.
I thought it froze. I was like, oh, okay.
I know Mike's thinking the same thing. He's yeah. just looking for – they have VAR. They were looking at like 900 things.
Yeah, it was scarcely offsides.
Fingertips.
You're stuck down with Cesar and set pieces?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing too, is like, I don't know. It felt like it was a thing that RSL researched and were ready to make sure that they had covered. Cause like on the second set piece, like, why on earth is Cesar marking Justin Glad? Justin Glad is so much bigger than Cesar Arrugo.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he was marking him. I think they kind of left him in an island, and he likes to like have someone near. And if you look at both of them, they both ran at Cesar. They weren't on Cesar, you know, they came from the top of the box and ran in, and Cesar just didn't have the awareness to notice them. You know, he just was like, boom, dunked on, you know. Watch the one in Aranjo. Cesar had no idea that the guy was there. He just climbed on him, and that was it. So, you know,
I honestly don't even know. I mean, I've been out to Denver and I've been out to the 5,000 feet, and I don't even know how these guys go from playing at sea level to playing at mountain level in 3 days. Like, it's tough, man. I mean, not only does it affect your breathing and your endurance, but it affects how you jump. It affects how you you reach for that last 1%. You dig deep for, you know, that deeper part that you dig is just not as deep as it would be where, you know what I mean? So
straight up, man, when we went to Denver and we went to a concert at Red Rocks and like had to go to the bathroom, man, just going back up the stairs after taking a pee, like at altitude, just granted, I'm out of shape. Like I know that I've been working on myself a lot lately and I'm feeling better, but like, can't deny, man, that like, that's part of the reason why I decided to get in better shape is because of how bad stairs kicked my ass after having to take a leak.
Yeah,
bro, this story of my life, just going upstairs, you know,
stairs at altitude, man, stairs at 5,000 feet above sea level.
Oh, that's bad. I wasn't gonna say also too, it affects ball flight. I mean, Rafa Santos was out there sending laser guided missiles at Exploria and out there sending some balloons at RSL, man. He hit a cross in, it looked like far post, and it looked like it hit the corner flag. I mean, bro, they were sailing on him, man. He was just like, I'm not used to this in Brazil. I mean, not the part he was, I'm sure.
Yeah, they
have altitude or whatever.
I mean, I just, you know, they got to go out and you got to play it. And it's just like I said, I mean, honestly, if you looked at all 34 matches on the schedule before the season ever started, that I think this match would have been the one that you would say, if you had to pick one guaranteed loss, what would it be? I think this was the one that every single person would choose personally. So, I mean, can't be upset that we lost, you know.
I think we got spoiled that we did so well against Seattle on a short week, you know. That's probably what it was.
Yeah, but that was at least a midweek, you know, if that was a second game, not the third game. So
that's right. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get in. We got about 15, 20 minutes to go, we'll start talking about the Atlanta United match. You guys already mentioned they're struggling with some injuries. With what the Greek guys injured, and then they got rid of their main defensive midfield. So I mean they're not. I think we are one of the deepest teams in MLS personally. So it's easy to say that they're not as deep as us. They're going to be off two road games in a row. They're playing tonight midweek, and I believe they got their. They lost two. They scored one goal at the very last minute of the match, but they lost 2-1 to New England today. They had 11 shots on target, 24 total shots. Wow, 479 passes with an 87% pass accuracy. On paper, it looks like they played pretty well tonight. Honestly, so they gave up two early goals. Didn't watch it obviously, but it's always a tough match. It's always a tough match in Atlanta. It's never easy. I think we've won there, what, one time? Maybe twice?
We won once in the COVID year, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the Sound of Music Chris Mueller picture.
Yeah, that's right. And it's just a tough, always on that turf, it's tough. Guzan,
that's where we go. 0-3, I think we are, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's a plus that we won't be.
Well, I haven't seen a goal. We went there three times, and I haven't seen a score a goal.
Yeah, I just remember Dom Dwyer missing the easiest sitter of all time. Twice. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's just always a tough match. It's just it's kind of like our kryptonite. Like maybe won there one time ever. But on paper, this looks like a good chance to get the second dub, in my opinion. Like, we're going to be rested. I don't think we have anybody out for yellow card accumulation.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think we're going to have pretty much a full team. I think Duncan McGuire is going to get the start again. And I think he'll be ready to play on that turf and make a difference, I think. So I'm excited about this match. I think a lot of people are overlooking the RSL match, and rightly so, as we've touched on. But I think, you know, there's a good chance that we can get a result and maybe even a dub in Atlanta. And it's going to be a huge match. I mean, now that we're looking at the standings going into it, Atlanta just finished their game. We'll have a game in hand on them, and we're 1 point down. So if we get this game, if we get a dub, you know, we're 2 points up with the game in hand on Atlanta. We got a game in hand on DC below us. You know, Nashville, we're 4 points back. They're losing right now. We'll have a game in hand on them. So, you know, we're right in the thick of things, y'all. I mean, we're two dubs away from being second place in the Eastern Conference if everything writes its way the correct way. So, and I know it says we're seventh, but we put ourselves right in the thick of things to do it the right way. Cincinnati came back tonight and got a dub, two goals in the last 15 minutes. Looks like they scored in the 93rd minute as well. So they beat Red Bull, so that helps us out, I guess, because I don't see us catching them, honestly. But we can easily get to second place. We're 6 points back from second place. We're not that far off from second place. So although we're in seventh, you know, we're not far off from having a home field advantage all the way through to the Eastern Conference Finals if Cincinnati makes it there and then being the next one up. So it's exciting for me. I guess I'll start, and I think we're going to draw. I think there's a chance we could win, but I think it's going to be another 1-1 draw against Atlanta. I think it'll be opposite this time. They'll get a goal early, and then we'll get a goal late. But I'll go back to what I said a couple of the last time I was on the pod, or maybe the Dinner After Dark. I want to steal a victory. I don't want to steal a draw. I want to steal 3 points. It feels like it's been a long time since we've done that. It feels like there's been a long time since we said, we probably shouldn't have got that 3 points, but we did. We did get that 3 points, you know? Like, I want to steal 3 points from them, whether it's 0-0, then we get that late goal, or you know, Pedro has a world-class match. I just want to feel like, you know, maybe we didn't deserve the 3 points, but we got them. That's what I would love, and there would be no better time going to do it right now before the League's Cup starts. So I'm going to say we draw 1-1, but in my mind, in the back of my mind, I would just absolutely love to steal those extra points. So, Mike, you got you, what's your outlook on this Atlanta match?
My outlook on this Atlanta match is I think that I'm gonna be forever the optimist on this one. I feel like we're gonna get a dub, you know, and it's gonna be one of those things where we're gonna forget what happened last week, and we're gonna pull out a 2-0 win. We're gonna shut them down because without the Greek god there, I think our midfield is stronger. They traded Ibarra away, who is debatably their best midfielder. And you know, losing him to control the middle of the field, I just think we have the midfield battle with, you know, Wilder and Cesar beat them. On the defensive side, I feel like using Wilder and Cesar, we're also going to be able to take care of business as far as containing Thiago Almada. So that's my hope. I think a 2-0 win is something that we're going to do. Facundo and Duncan McGuire on the score sheet, and we're going to capitalize on what they got missing. So I think this is 100% a situation where we, like I said, we got to get the win. You know, we got to start beat the teams we got to beat, and we should have beat Atlanta earlier this year. We got to beat them this time.
I think we're going to see a big game from one or two guys. I'm thinking Ojeda is gonna do something spectacular. It's about time for some highlight reel action. He's been on the verge all year from doing some highlight reel stuff, some goal of the week
where the style stuff. The goalie's not gonna make a miraculous save this time.
Yeah, I think it's time for that, and I would love to see it. I think he's, as though he's not getting a lot of minutes, I think he's really been you know, he's played pretty well whenever he does get in. And him and Duncan, you know, and we'll see what Carr does too, because all this talk about Carr, but every time people talk crap about Urshan Carr, he comes in and he scores a goal. So, you know, maybe all we should do is just keep talking crap about Carr, because that guy, he's got huge ears. And he loves to listen, man. That guy's
sensitive,
like,
ears.
Carr is definition to speak of the devil. You know, that's exactly what that saying came from. So, Eddie, tell me give me a prediction and an outlook on how you think the match will go on Saturday.
Now, Atlanta, we should have put them out early when we're at home, but the last part of the game, they really dominated. They really transitioned and got us on the counter and created some really good chances. They play with that back three. They got those wing backs with Lennon, Wiley right now, and Etienne gave us trouble last time too. So they have pace out there and out with Almada. So we got to be really clean in the midfield. It's going to be big for Cartagena, Mauricio, Cesar to really, really control things. This will be a match too where maybe you know, we're going to need to kind of, you know, sit back. We're going to have to sit back, I think, and try to take advantage if they pull up those wing backs and try to get in behind us, get in behind them in those spaces that they're leaving would be great. And then try to send numbers forward against their center backs. Cause right now I don't want to see Duncan isolated against three center backs. So I want to be able to create some offense. So I think it's going to be difficult I'm going to say 2-1, us optimistically. Ojeda, I'm with you, Alex. Ojeda banger outside the box. And then Duncan's going to find a way. And I just want that to be them too, because Ojeda, I think he gets a little underrated by the fan base. You know, I think he's quality. I think he does a lot of stuff well. Some things just haven't come off, and he plays a little slower, not as, you know, maybe exciting as other people play or we're expecting, but he's very I think it's very good, and I think it would be great for him to score a banger and against Atlanta. That's a great way to kind of announce yourself. And for Duncan seems like, you know, he's got that dog in him. This seems like a game Duncan will step up. I think Duncan gets what it means to beat Atlanta, you know, so I think he'll step up on that. And then if you look at the amount of shots, Atlanta's always at the top of chance creation, shots taken, created, you know, so they're gonna pelt us, especially at home. This is a game where, you know, old Pedro needs to come back. Beginning of the season, Pedro needs, he won save of the year last year, think, you know, against Don Dwyer's strike. at Atlanta, you know, so he's had some good performances there. This is time for Pedro to really bail us out on this one, because I think we're going to need it. So I'm going to be optimistic, but we need Pedro to step up, need that midfield to play clean. I don't want to see, you know, too many cute one-time passes, Mauricio. Let's keep it clean. Let's try to, you know, I would use Rafa Santos and stuff to go forward and pin Lennon back and make sure that we don't have him all up in our half the whole time, and then try to get some crosses in there behind and stretch out that back three and you know, get some late runners in there and get some offense somehow, because you know that's how I would attack it, you know. But the main thing is being clean in midfield, because transition wise they will pull you out wide and they'll get in behind quick, and they're pretty fast.
And I'll add something to that. One thing against RSL that I noticed is that the Angulo and Rafa Santos overlap, just it could not get it working at all, to the point to where we actually switched Angulo and Faku as far as who was on what side. So that's definitely something that's been lethal the past couple games until last week. So hopefully they can rekindle that too.
Absolutely. And we're going to need Angulo to track back a lot too, because they're the wingbacks. Angulo is going to have to be sort of like a wingback himself. You know,
I am happy that they got rid of Gutman, though.
Yeah, me too. This is going to be almost like I could see it definitely be like almost like a 4-4-1-1 on defense, you know, with the wing backs. I mean, with our wingers having it to really make sure to take care of that whiff. Because if we get Caesar and Wilder out there chasing the wings, that's where Amada's going to cook. So we have to be cognizant of that. But the best way to do that is to be clean on the ball in the midfield and play quickly too. Just spread it out wide, you know, get them, beat that initial press that they like to do, get it out to wide, you mean some long balls early, that kind of thing. Play it to Duncan, let him lay it off. That's what I would, how I would approach it. You know, you don't want to lose the ball in the midfield. You get crushed.
Yeah. And they're also one of those, you know, another thing too, is we're all pretty low scoring on it. They're a team that can score goals, but they're a team that also concedes a lot of goals. So this game could very well also be a shootout. Now that I said that, we're probably all going to be right in it being a low scoring game, but it's just something to keep in mind. Could just be a lot of goals.
No Robinson, no Ibarra. That should be, you know, it should be something we should be able to take advantage of. So
I'm looking at the schedule right now, and if we get 3 points here, we only have 5 out of the last 11 matches against these dreaded playoff teams that everybody's been talking about. You know, it's not a tough schedule in my opinion. And if we get the dub on Saturday and a couple games go our way, we're 3 points from second. And I think we got a decent chance to get to that point. I mean, you're looking at matches. I mean, we got to play Chicago on the road at Chicago, Charlotte, NYC, who struggled, Nashville. We got Toronto on decision day on the road. So, you know, we have a lot of simple road matches. And then at home, you got St. Louis, you know, you got Miami with old man Messi and his crew. You got Montreal at home, New England at home. So I think we got a chance to make some changes and really get up where we need to be. So,
but we really got to, after, like, it'll be great to end the open. I mean, go into the League's Cup with a win against our main rival Atlanta. That'll be fantastic. But when we get out of there, we got to take care of Chicago. If we could get a point, you know, St. Louis is going to be tough, but we're at home. Charlotte, they beat us. I mean, but then you got Cincinnati and Columbus. And we have to get points at home. We gotta beat Chicago. We gotta get points against Columbus. We gotta get something against New York, because, and then we gotta try to beat Miami and Montreal home, because after that, Nashville on the road that's probably an L. And the Revs we don't match up well against them. I don't feel good about that one. So I don't want to be in a situation like we are the last 2 years, where the decision day is hugely important. You know, it's because it's the way that stretch looks. You know, at least the last two out of the last three with playing, and again, you're playing three games in a week. September 30th, Montreal; the 4th, October, Nashville, and then you turn around right back at home, And then you have New England. That's those three can be very crucial. And I don't want it to come down to decision day again. So we gotta come out hot from the Leagues Cup.
I agree. Matt Turner just got caught out looking like a fool. So
Panama won 1-0.
They just took the lead in extra time.
Yeah, an extra time. Yep.
Somebody should tell Matt Turner that if he was playing in MLS, that sort of performance would get him an all-star spot.
That's right. Wow. Jeez.
Oh, shoot. All right. Well, let's move on to some shout outs here. Who's got a shout out prepared? Eddie, you got one?
I got one. Yeah. They're going to be to my homie, Javier Carrillo, new Orlando City Academy director. He was the coach on the U15s that won the title, right? U17s that won the title a couple years ago. He was the coach. You know, he's a real nice guy. I've seen him at the preseason. I met him, chatted with him a couple times. He comes from the down south. Marcelo Nevelev was there, some academy I don't really want to mention because I don't like him. He's well liked by the kids. He's a guy who, you know, will tell a kid, you know, college is the best route for you and get these kids, help these kids get into really good schools. I mean, look at our kids. They're going to good schools all the time. And then some of them, you know, get them to, hey, for you, a pro path is better right now. And he keeps in touch with them. They like him. I can say, if I get into too much detail, Marcelo was a little divisive with some of the kids. I think in some ways it hurt us. He was competent, knew what he was doing. As the academy director, OCB, he was not good. I'm really excited too. You know, shout out to Martin Perelman. OCB is just, the project looks a lot better with him in charge and Ricardo picking the players. So just, I feel good about the youth, man. You know, for years, I was just like, hey, we haven't really brought anybody up. We really, you know, blew it with the Mount Verde thing. We haven't really brought anyone up and made an impact. You see Mikey do that now, but you see some potential when you see all these guys like, you know, academy products like Loyola and Granados these guys come in, Williams, and have impact on an actual first team matches or look like they fit in. So, I mean, that's positive. And a little credit to the Wolves too, because they're the ones who've been committed the extra money, because we just had the 17 to 15s. Now we have 12s and we're growing it out more and more, and they're funding it to a better degree. So shout out to them. Javier was the interim guy after Marcelo left. He's like the coach of Dominican Republic or something now. And Javier really deserved it, man. Just a smart, sharp guy, not just because he's Peruvian. A smart, sharp guy who's a really good coach, has him playing really good football. Kids like just you know, seem to love playing for him, under him. Look at the responses to the tweets about him. The parents love him. So I'm very happy. A little shout out to Javier. Well deserved. I sent him a message when he got the interim spot. I was like, I hope you get the main gig, and he did. So a little shout out to Javier, and shout out to everyone involved in the academy and the youth movement in Orlando City. I do think the future is purple. I'm more optimistic for it than I've ever been.
Yeah, congratulations, Javier, and I agree. That's a good. I mean, anytime you got the parents and you know the response that he's gotten, and he gets results too. People like to play with him, so. Or for him, so
yeah. I mean, look, all his teams are always in the hunt. You know, they're in the playoffs. They get far in tournaments, and all of these kids we're seeing coming through, these are kids he had hands on. You know, even the 15s, the 15s that went to 17s, like all of these kids, there was kids that I didn't even really think about. He's like, watch out, Loyola. Watch out for this kid. Watch out. You know, he told me years ago. He's like, hey, this kid looks good. And no, this one. And they got more. They got more coming too, man. You watch out. There's going to be more and more coming.
Mike, you got a shout out?
Yeah. First, actually got two. So first shout out is to U.S. soccer for just realistically not giving a damn about this tournament, you know, like the squad not that they put together
in the world, man.
I think there's like one player outside of Matt Turner in this tournament so far that as I've been watching through it, where I'm like, that guy could factor into the first team kind of. And that's about it. And the second shout out is because he just got subbed on while we're watching the game live, is to John Tolkien. He got a haircut. Looked like he's been writing letters to Eminem, you know, and complaining about the fact that he's not writing them back. So,
but he's not My Little Pony anymore.
No, My Little Pony. He got rid of the hair.
All right, good.
Yeah, he's he is bald as a doorknob. No.
All right. Well, shout out to Jesus Ferreira. Just tied it up.
Oh, you're ahead of me. Hell yeah. Thank you.
Oh, I just saw it. Hey, but he's like, Panama's kind of like an island nation, right? So what's the joke?
Pirate of the Caribbean. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If the GDP is mostly from tourism, then Jesus Ferreira is going to score on you. So
that was his best goal of the tournament. Nice half volley.
Best goal of the tournament.
Yeah. That was a very impressive goal. All right. Well, my shout out is a good shout out is to the Orlando City Soccer Foundation. As you guys know, I probably know the last auction they did. I was able to snag the Mauricio armband, snag the Cartagena game worn signed jersey, and they have another auction going right now for the Pride in Our City match worn signed jerseys. And some of the bids are crazy. Like the Robin Johnson jersey's over $1,000. The Ramiro Enrique jersey's at $3,000 right now.
What?
Yeah, but some of them are really cheap. Not too crazy as far as pricing. You know, the Wilder jersey's at $330. Antonio Carlos $350. The Dagger Dan jersey, I know he's a fan favorite. It's only at $360 current bid.
And it's all John Rollins by himself.
Yeah, the Faku's at $600. So, you know, there's a few good deals that might be sought after and found. They even have the Orlando Pride kits up too, and those are really really good deals. Some of those are still at the starting bid of $150. So, if you guys go online, you could even just donate to the Orlando City Soccer Fund doing that. If you've ever wanted a match worn kit that's signed, go check it out. Go check out the auction. The auction ends in 4 days and 14 hours, it tells me. So just give it a look. I'll probably be sitting out this time, so you won't have me as competition, but shout out to Kay Rollins. Shout out to the Orlando City Foundation. That's a really cool thing that they do is auction off those really awesome, match worn kits. And it's always fun. I mean, it's fun to buy a jersey that has an autograph on it that, you know, you don't have to feel like a schmuck asking a dude to take off his shirt and give it to you. And you could buy it like normal people do. And it goes to good, and nice, you know, it goes to positive things that a charity that's going to actually affect you, the community that you live in. So, shout out to the Orlando City Foundation. Shout out to them being able to auction that stuff off. And I know last time a lot of people were upset because they didn't know about the auction. And trust me, Orlando City Fund wants you to know about the auction because they want to get all the money they can to help change the community and benefit the community, especially the soccer community and that academy too, and everything that they do. So go check that out. I believe I have the website pulled up here. It's on the bidpal.net. We'll share the link on our Twitter page so you guys can check it out as well. Just if you guys have it in your budget, just go ahead and check it out. Go and bid on something because you might be able to end up with a really cool piece of merchandise. So anybody have anything else to add?
No, shout out to Cleon's cousins. Apparently he's back home checking on his empire, his chicken empire, and family's coming out of the woodwork now that he's in charge. So shout out to the Ferbert and I don't know, the rest of the family, the other side's clan back over there. So
Cleon's back in Bermuda. So yeah, that we miss him, but I know he's having fun in the homeland. So tells me more. So the auction ends on Monday, July 17th at noon. And the kits, the Orlando City kits, are from the match against the Rapids that we won, and then the the Orlando Pride kits are from the match against the Portland Thorns that we won 3-1 at home. So some cool history there, always fun. So make sure you guys check that out. And as always, thank you guys for listening. We appreciate you guys for supporting us. We appreciate all the activity and the fun on the Den After Dark that we've had. We are really looking forward to the Den After Dark on Saturday. And hopefully to be talking about what would, I think, be, correct us if we're wrong, probably old Jim Rome on us, but I think would be the second victory of all time for Orlando City at the Benz. So show us love on Saturday. Thank you guys for supporting us, and we look forward to seeing you guys in the Den After Dark. We love when you guys talk. We love the conversation that we have, even commenting. We like to read those too. So hope everybody enjoyed this episode, and we will see you guys on Saturday night, hopefully after a nice big fat dub.
On Twitter.
Yeah, on Twitter. On Twitter Spaces. So give us a shout there. Appreciate you guys, and vamos Orlando.
Vamos.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Orlando Lions Den podcast. Don't forget to follow us at Orlando Lions Den on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next week in the Den.